Hi, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Super Sumo Brothers podcast. I'm here, as always, with Andrew.
Hey, everyone.
I called him Andrew today instead of Andy.
Yeah,
I
don't know once why. Again, we'll go back and forth until whenever.
So the problem is that we work together.
That's
that,
true.
And that I'm like, well, he doesn't like, he's usually used to being called Andrew, but I called him Andy. Oh, no. Like,
yeah, I mean, I do the same thing with you where it's Mike and Michael, depending on.
Yeah.
Who I'm talking to, if it's family, it's more informal. If it's work, it's more formal, even though Mike's not really formal either. But it's just, you know, it's weird to hear the other name when you're at some other place. But
yeah, I do it like every time. I don't know. Anyway, we're going into March here. We are in March. It's the day before the tournament.
Yeah. And usually, see, this is nice because typically we do this on like day one or day two where we tell everyone we haven't seen the first 2 days. The good thing is by the time this is posted, no one will have seen anything. So yeah. This for us, we don't know any results yet, and which also gives us a chance to kind of look at day one and day two matchups, which we've never done before.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually we're just kind of like, yeah, we're either pretending we haven't seen a day.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. Because usually, yeah, especially like a day one spoiler, it's always hard because like I follow a whole bunch of accounts and it's all over Reddit and everything. So it's hard for us not to see anything when in fact we actually haven't seen anything because nothing's happened.
Yeah. So this will be a blind Banzuke viewing here. I have it up now. I'm scrolling up and down on my page really fast, so I haven't actually seen it. But yeah, so whenever you're ready, I guess we could start at the bottom.
How bottom do you want to talk Juryo bottom or
yeah, let's see who's top of Juryo right now. I'm not even sure, but let's start there.
Yeah, top of Juryo, I think it's going to be guys that we're mostly familiar with, a couple, you know, Akuchi drop down guys and then a few Juryo promotion, but
let's see. So well, I got it up now. So we got Akua at Juryo 1, which is kind of a bummer. I was kind of hoping to see more of Akua, but I don't think he performed well enough, obviously, to stay in Magashira. He went 5-10 at Magashira 13, though still, that's a pretty big drop.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because you have, because some of the guys who below him who did well, like Hoshoryu went 9-6, Mitoru Fuji was 9-6, you had Kota Nowaka who was 10-5, Akisayama, who I think was probably one of the more surprised even at 9-6, moved up. And then, but like, when you kind of look at what Juryo did last tournament, I mean, you had Ishiura, Chiyomaru, and Enho, who were all forced out due to COVID. They were Juryo 1, 2, and 3 in the East. And like, Daimami was 8-7. He was your best top 5, top 6, 7, 8 guys. Like, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of surprised that Kua went all the way down, but it's only Juryo 1. If he puts together at least 8-7, he'll be back up.
Yeah, for sure. And even if he performs pretty well throughout the tournament, I think he'll be doing pretty well.
Yeah, he'll be some of the spot start guys to get called up.
Yeah. Okay. And then, let's see. So that's, he's Juryo 1. Is there only one Juryo 1?
No.
Oh, the no. Other is, the other is up in Makuuchi.
Yes. It's actually Tokushoryu is Juryo 1.
Yeah.
Tokushoryu, who was the former Yusho winner back January of 2020, if I'm remembering right. Yeah. So he won 2020. But yeah, he's made his way back down to Juryo after a 8-7 and then a 3-12 last tournament.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a run there in the middle of the Magashira, but so tournament winner Juryo 1.
Yeah,
I guess that's why he's starting in up in the Makuuchi, I guess.
Yeah, he got called up for a day one fight
against looking at it, Daimami. So should be a Daimami's pretty mid grade Rikishi, so a lot of eights, late and sevens, sevens and eights. So
yeah, he's mainly a Juryo specialist. He's had seven or eight. He's at 8 Bashos in Makuuchi, so he's more of a Juryo kind of guy. But we'll see how the bottom of the Banzuke looks.
Yeah. And also just I'm looking at like kind of noteworthy guys down in the Juryo section here. But everybody's favorite, or everybody's second favorite short guy, Ishiura, is Juryo 2, and everyone's favorite short guy, Enho, is Juryo 4. So.
Yeah, so those three guys, so Ishiura, Chiyomaru, and Enho, were ranked East 1, 2, and 3. They all got a single rank demotion, which is unfortunate because they were all out due to COVID. But I'm guessing you kind of had to move some guys up, so those guys were forced to move down only a single rank East.
Still, that's, but
yeah,
that's what it is, I guess.
Yep, and like, but like, and that's the weird thing is like, so Wakamoto Haru, because Wakataka Kage was another one who had to sit out due to COVID. There, he got the stay at 5, while the other three guys got demoted 1. So I'm hoping they take that into consideration if they go like 8 and 7, and they're like, well, technically you would have been Juryo 1, but
yeah, that's true. I hope they put some sort of a, I don't know, handicap, for lack of a better term, in there.
Yeah. But yeah, some other Juryo guys. I think the ones to take note of, there's no Ikioi.
Yeah, Ikioi's seemingly done.
One. And I don't think he's scheduled to fight day one. I think as little spoilers that I've had, it's been Ikioi, I don't think, is competing day one, but we'll know shortly.
Yeah.
And Kotoyuki is also no longer in Juryo.
Both of them. Yeah. Sorry, there's a guy named Yoshi in Makishita. I didn't realize that.
Where is
just,
he?
Makishita 21 is Yoshi.
Okay.
I'm down with that. I'm pulling for Yoshi. Yeah, I'll keep an eye on him.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see how Yoshi. We're going pretty far down, but I'm interested. The whole bunch of 4 and 3s. He's yet to have a losing record. So everyone keep an eye on Yoshi Ko.
Yep.
It'll likely change once he hits Juryo, but for now we'll keep an eye on Yoshi. And Roga seems like a cool name.
I like Yoshi. Yoshi and yeah, just pick some names here.
Yeah. Oho though is a name that I think everyone's said to keep an eye on.
Omoto is a cool name too. It's easy.
What is it?
Omoto.
Omoto, okay.
And Nakazono, that's a good one. This is a Z. You very rarely see Zs, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of Zs. Then again, I mean, I guess unless you like Shohozan, like typically at the end, but
yeah, anyway, enough Makishita.
Yeah. Sorry, I think that's like the first time we've ever talked about Makishita, like besides being like, oh yeah, Abi's fighting all the way down at some super low rank, which actually one more rank. He is 56.
Oh, so he's even lower than Yoshi. So
yes. So, and I don't know if he's competing. Let's see. It was 6 tournaments for the suspension. He's now at 4.
Yeah, so he's almost
so he'll back. Be like mid to lower ranked Sadan Mei by the time he starts fighting back. So we might not see Abi until 2022.
Yeah, probably.
Which it's is funny. There was I was talking with some people, and they were asking who the you know, for people who might know Johnny Manziel, he's a college football player, great star, clown in the NFL, and never hasn't been able to keep his off-field antics under control. People were asking who that is in sumo, and we were talking about it. We're like, yeah, Abi might fit that depiction. Yeah. I mean, people did something very different. Abi broke protocol and can't, you know, follow instructions, while Johnny Manziel's kind of a college kid in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
Drinking, doing party and stuff. That is not good. But anyways, yeah. Let's get back to the topic at hand.
So another couple other Juryo noteworthy names. Me personally, I like Yago, but he's down at Juryo 10.
Yeah.
So he's probably not going to be seen for a while. But yeah, actually looking at this list, there's not a lot of older guys in Juryo anymore. Like a lot of them are just either they've made it back up to Makuchi for this tournament, or they're not fighting anymore.
Yeah, I think we're seeing, you know, a lot of the guys still in Juryo have some experience up in
yeah, like they've popped up. Yeah,
like Chiyotoru's been a Komusubi before. Shohozan's been a Komusubi before.
Apparently, Ura has some time up there.
Yeah, Jokoru, who is Juryo 13, apparently he's been up as high as Komusubi at one point. Apparently way back in September of 2014, so that would have been just as I started watching.
Yeah.
That guy was a Komusubi, but he's been all over the place since then. So, yeah, but yeah, Jurio, we're getting a lot of, it looks like a lot of the veterans are,
A lot of names I'm recognizing just because they've like popped up into you know Makuuchi a few times or like you said been up to like Homosubi, so I like recognize the name, but like it's not the guys we started watching like for a while. I think, I mean, since we've been doing this, I feel like there were way more when we did our first episode that we recognized in Jurio than like in terms of just like people I've followed.
A lot of these guys look like they're in, you know, born early 1990s, so they're sitting around 28 29 30. Well, maybe some of the guys before were, you know, early to mid 30s, you know. But
yeah, all right, enough Jurio talk here.
Let's get to cream of the crop here.
The meat of the sumo world. Sorry, I don't know, it's weird. Kaisei doing his lingering still.
He was another guy that got a single demotion. He was 16 last tournament. He got to stay at 16.
Yeah.
I'm looking at last tournament where there were 17, and now this tournament there's 16.
Yeah. So that's good for Kaisei. Although, I mean, again, he's hasn't been performing super well. You know, he's late 30s, weighs, you know, 400 pounds plus. He'll be closing up shop soon too, I think.
Yeah, there's a couple guys that were sitting here, which, you know, they're borderline getting ready to retire, I think. But we'll see. I know some people like to fight forever, so it depends on your mentality, really.
So let's see, Yutakiyama, still up here in Magashita.
Magashira.
His Magashira, but he's in Makuuchi.
His highest rank has been Magashira 1. And so he's been as far up there as sitting on the outside of the Senyaku guys, but hasn't been able to get in there yet.
Yeah. And then it seems like a pretty it's like a plain pack down at the bottom here. You got Koto Echo, of course. Always pulling for the Sagatake guys.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can put together a better record than his last two tournaments. He's been dropping pretty steadily since then.
Yeah, Yutakayama on the other side is another guy who's or just below him, who's been, you know, he hasn't had a winning tournament since March of last year. So I'm kind of surprised he's still up. He was 5-10, 2-6-7, 6-9, 7-8. So he's closing the gap with a losing record, but he's still getting a losing record. we'll see how he does. I always like Teritsu Yoshi. I think it's just because he has that salt toss.
Teritsu Yoshi's. I wanted to keep an eye on. But yeah, he's also struggling. Again, this whole, I mean, I guess it makes sense, but the whole bottom pack here seems to just be guys comprised of losing records, which obviously just means like not a lot of guys climbing up from the very bottom, creeping their way up to the top.
Yeah, last tournament you had some decent guys sitting down the bottom. I mean, Yutakayama was 7-8, like we just said. Like Kota no Waka had a great tournament at 10-5. Akiseyama had a surprise at 9-6. Hoshoryu was 9-6. Mirafuji was 9-6. So I don't think this tournament at the bottom will be as competitive as the last tournament was.
Yep.
So, I mean, we'll find out. Who knows?
You got Chiyoshoma. He's another COVID guy. So he was at 13 in January, sticking around 13 in March.
Yeah, I guess I get why you would keep the guys up in Makuuchi where they are, but moving everyone in Jurio down one seems strange, but it's only one demotion, I guess. I don't know. It feels weird that they did it with some guys and not others, but I don't know.
It's a strange policy. They've never
had to do it before, so I mean that's something else that it's hard to judge because they've never had to demote someone because of a pandemic.
All right, so then we got going into the 13s and 12s and such.
Akiseyama's a career high at Magashira 12.
And Oyama still sticking around, same age as Kaisei actually.
I'd probably almost put more faith in, I see I was gonna say Kaisei.
Well, it's a hot take. Hot take. All right, so
so who out of these 235-year-olds, who do I think has better potential?
Who's going to get the better record at the end of the tournament, Kaisei or Oyama?
Mm. Oh boy, I'm gonna go Kaisei only because he's had a tournament off because of COVID, so maybe he's practiced more. He's in a better shape. He's well rested.
I would also go with Kaisei, actually. Okay,
so we'll take a note at about the 10-minute, 15-minute mark or something.
Yeah.
Kaisei will be the winner out of those two.
Yep, Kaisei. Kaisei hot take. Mm-hmm. All right, so Akisuyama, we just mentioned, and Kota Shoho.
He had a bad,
just bad not a good tournament. Yeah.
2-13, he only got two. He got his first one on day 12. And on day 15, got a second one. There was some article that I couldn't read, but I think some people were saying that he's hoping to fix something that was happening on his right side.
Hmm.
And I believe it was Sumo Follower who said it wasn't clear what that was. They couldn't take the literal translation of what that was, but there's something to do with his right side, whether it was, I don't think it was injury. It was probably just like, you know, he needs to strengthen his right side or like get a better grip or something like that. So we'll see if he actually does better.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you got to beat two wins.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll. Another hot take. I bet he gets 5 wins at least.
Okay. Ooh. At least 5 wins for Kota Shoho. I hope so. I want all the Sadagatake guys to do well. So,
yeah. No, I think he'll bounce back no problem. And, I mean, he was Magashira 2 or 3 before. Yeah. And you know, obviously fighting some of the top guys, I think he'll I mean, his first couple days, it's Akisuyama on day 1 and then Oyama on day 2. Like, those are guys he should beat.
Yeah, they're older, much older. So yeah.
So I mean, if that'll be a good test of skill too, I think, because obviously
those guys Oyama's are big,
way
too.
Bigger. Yeah, I was gonna say way bigger than him. So
And Akisuyama's not a small guy either.
Yeah, he's like 10 kilograms less, I think, less than that, like 9. But yeah, so not much smaller by any means. So yeah, big dude. Jeez, looking at his picture.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
All right, so then we got Chiyotaro and Ryuden. So Chiyotaro at 11, Ryuden at 10.
Mm-hmm.
Ryuden, I always kind of, I don't know, I like keeping an eye on Ryuden. I think he's an interesting fighter. He obviously didn't do very well, like most of the bottom here. Was 4-11 at Magashira 6 last tournament, but I don't know, he's kind of a fun fighter to watch.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just want to see him come back with the booty shaking that he was doing there for a little bit.
Yeah, people were a big fan of the booty shake.
Well, it's funny. It's one of those things where I think he was doing it, and then someone told him to stop, kind of what they did with Kotoyuki and his hood, where people were just like, are you really doing this right now? Is that appropriate? Like, I mean, whatever. Whatever it takes to get you excited, as long as it's not offensive, I'm kind of game for. So.
Yeah, it's just they shut down his booty shake. It's unfortunate. And then you get of course Chiyotaro. He's no stranger to the Mikuchi division.
Nope.
Usually hangs out in the lower levels, but
it's been as high as Komatsubi, but
yeah
I don't think, I don't know how long he's been there.
Last year he's been highest is 8.
Yeah, so. He's only been 2 tournaments in Komatsubi, and that's been the highest.
Yeah, but obviously a veteran presence down there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Kota Nowaka. What up, buddy? I like Kota Nowaka. I'm excited to see how he does. One of the 2 younger Kotos in the
tournament. I like seeing that youth out of that stable. Mm-hmm. I think that was something that and even Koto Eiko, I mean, he's only born in 91, but like if you're talking about like super, super young, Kota Nowaka's 97,
mm-hmm.
Kota Shoho was 99. Like having 2 guys that are within 2 years of each other, just like it's also crazy to think that we're getting athletes now that are almost born in 2000.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that makes me feel old.
Yeah, I know. Even for me, that's making me feel old. I'm excited about. Especially a lot of the young guys, even like Mita Rafuji, who had a debut last tournament, at Magashira at 10. Like another young guy I'm excited to keep watching. If I remember right, I think he Hanka day one, and then after that he was like, I think he tried to Hanka and it was a false start, and then he was like, I went in regularly after that because he was nervous. So I'm hoping that's not how he continues to be. Well, we'll see.
All right. You got, we got Kagiaki.
Yep.
Sitting at 7 this tournament. So he's one who didn't drop down too far, but had a 6-9 record, which I kind of feel is interesting.
Yep.
And then the tournament before that, he went 5-10. So it's not like he has like a history of bouncing back or being like amazing all of a sudden. So it's weird that he only got the one position drop.
Yeah, and it could just be because you had so many guys with COVID that were kind of stuck there and situated. And then you had only those very few guys they bumped up from Jurio. Like I said, I think there's only one guy making. Actually, nobody's making their debut, I don't think, this tournament. And there just wasn't a lot of people just to move up.
Yeah.
A lot of the people who did well were lower ranked Jurio guys that got, mid rank promotions. So.
Yep. Now we're getting into the more well known veterans here who are still lingering around in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
You got Tochi Noshin and Ichinojo. Who will fight each other on day one, which I think that's, so I know we're going to get into this later, but I think that's a big fight for me. I think this will set the pace a lot for Ichinojo because this is going to be a tough fight for him.
Yeah, it's a tough day one fight for Ichinojo, I think.
I think strength-wise, obviously, Tochi Noshin is healthy. He should be able to manhandle Ichinojo, and I'm wondering if that's in Ichinojo's head at all, like despite how big Ichinojo is.
Yeah.
Tochi Noshin seemingly has no problem just lifting anybody up and pulling them out of the ring.
Tochi Noshin's record against Ichinojo is 16-7.
Yeah.
So he's got the upper hand by twice as much. But let's see when they're, the last two times they've met, it's gone in favor of Ichinojo. So he has at least two of the last two. That would have been in November and September. Wow. November of last year. And then September of 2019. That was the last two times they've faced, which I'm kind of surprised because I thought they'd be close enough where they'd actually see each other, but apparently not.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because Ichinojo has been, he's been lower in the pack, and Tochi Noshin's been kind of hanging out near the top-ish. So,
he's slowly declining, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because Ichinojo last tournament was 12, tournament before that 13, and 2020 September 17, and Tochi Noshin was 4-7-4. So they've kind of been hanging out in different sections of the Makuuchi, but they've been up there. It's interesting to see, Ichinojo kind of on the rise and Tochi Noshin on the downfall. Although Tochi Noshin's November tournament wasn't awful.
But I still don't think he fought as well as he should have. His November wasn't bad. It was 9-6. It's a winning record. Mm-hmm. But he looked bad in January.
He looked really bad in January.
Like, I just don't think he had, like, it almost seems like he had no strength to pick people up. Like, that's what he's known for. It's just like getting people and being like, I'm just going to pick you up and walk you out of the ring and everything's great. I don't think he flashed a lot of that in January. I think it was just tried to do something. He wasn't doing his usual sumo. Mm. And that cost him a lot of wins.
So that is Ichinojo and Tochi Noshin. Then you get Tamawashi and Okinomi. Again, guys that we have known for quite some time now.
Mm-hmm.
Okinomi coming off of a 7-8 record. Tamawashi coming off of a 6-9. So again, more losing records.
Yeah, this part of the Banzuke is going to be tough, though. Part of, like, because you're getting into the guys who have been in Senyaku.
Mm-hmm.
The only four guys in the top 14, we'll say Magashira 7, so 14 positions up, has been Kagayaki, Shimonoomi, Wakataka Kage, Meisei, and Kiribayama. The rest of them have all been in Senyaku as high as, Sekiwake. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough section. Yeah.
Like, I can see, I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, but like Waka Taka Kage, Magashira 2, I could see him with a subpar record just because he's going to be up there fighting a lot of veteran guys that have been in Senyaku. And
yeah, I think we've talked about the Magashira like 1-2 ranks being some of the hardest.
Oh yeah,
just because you usually get thrown the entire Senyaku in the first week. Mm-hmm. So like that's, and then mentally that can be scarring. I feel like just kind of going in, and if you lose the Yokozunas and the Ozekis, you're already 4 in the hole.
Let's say this, so Magashira 3 will go back to last tournament with Kota Shoho. This was his first 7 days. Terano Fuji, Sekiwake, Takanosho, Sekiwake, Tamawashi, Magashira 4. Then you had Ozeki and Shodai, Ozeki, Takakesho, Hokuto Fuji at Magashira 1, Ozeki, Asanayama, Komusubi, Takayasu. That was the first 8 days he faced all of the Senyaku, yeah, and was 0-8.
Yeah, it's
so rough. Yeah, your 1-2-3s are pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
For positioning.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think we're jumping ahead. I got excited about Waka Taka Kage. You started talking about him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But
if you want more Waka, his brother's sitting at Juryo 6 this tournament. So mm-hmm. he does well. Maybe he get another set of brothers.
Get so much Waka. Mm-hmm. Waka Waka up in Waka. The. Let's get some Fozzie Bear action.
Yep.
Up in the, the Makuuchi division. That'd be good. Anyway, moving up to 5 and 4, Endo, everybody's favorite, apparently sexy man. I don't know.
Yeah. Love Endo. They think he's just the sexiest. So,
sexy man's records have not been very sexy lately.
He's
like, always just like, yeah. I don't know. In my mind, he's never been like a very standout. Like Rikishi, like he's like,
he had a lot of hype though. Like when we were watching him and he was kind of rising, I think like everyone was like, oh, you gotta keep an eye on Endo.
Mm-hmm.
He could be the next thing. And I don't think he's turned into the next thing. He's kind of been a sort of a lackluster expectation. He's, like he puts on a good show. Like he's like, he's like your average wrestler.
But. Yeah. I don't feel like he's like, he's not exciting to watch either. Like he's like a good wrestler, but it's not like he's, I mean, when he's losing, he's like, they're good fights, but you know what I mean? It's not like he's doing something crazy or like trying some ridiculous technique. I don't feel like, so yes. He's just kind of like he's losing or he's winning and I don't know, he's getting a paycheck. So,
yeah. So I think in the 44 Bashos, he's only had, at least in the top division, he's only had 5 or 6 double digit wins. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you're sitting at about 25% of the time you're getting double digits.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't great. I guess I don't know what the field's, double digit percentage is. So maybe 25 is good and it's not that bad, or maybe 25 is really bad.
I mean, I say that he doesn't change up his fighting style a lot, but his kamanates, I'm saying that wrong. But he's got 31% in the etc. column. Which is kind of interesting. He's got 36 Yorikiri, 21 Oshidashi, Tatakikomi, which I vaguely know what it is, but Yorikiri and Oshidashi are like the usual suspects for most wrestlers, but the etc. makes me believe that I'm maybe incorrect in my assumption that he's not using different techniques.
Yeah, he's got 136 wins by Yorikiri. Oshidashi is 56. Suki Kiyoshi is 20. And then Hata Kikomi is 19. And then there is a whole bunch of just like single one-offs. Like, okay, apparently he's only had one Fusen, which I'm kind of surprised by. It's when someone pulls out. Like Kotanage, Maki Otoshi, Oki Tsuyoshi, Shitakadusnage. Like, so there's a whole bunch of ones that are just a single one-off, and I'd be interested to see some of these moves. Like, we don't see as often, so we're not familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm Yorikiri is like the one that I know for sure.
Oh yeah,
but like the other ones, I'm still not up to snuff on. But all right, so that's Endo, and again, I know there are people who love Endo, but for me, he's just meh.
Yeah, I mean, I do have a a picture. He's one of the four postcards that we did pick up. At least I picked up Endo. I forget
That's who you picked up. Yeah, I think I grabbed both. Kakeru, Koto Shikiko, obviously, and Hakuho, I think, is what I grabbed.
Yeah, I grabbed Hakuho, Ikioi, Koto Shikiko, and Endo were the four that I picked up.
I might have got Ikioi.
Yeah, I think you would. I feel like because we like pretty much the same people, so I feel like that's something that we would have grabbed while we're in the sumo shop.
Yeah, substance. That's what this podcast is bringing you right now. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on to Magashira 4 and 3, facing off on day 1. Shimano Omi and Kiribayama. So I've been hearing Kiribayama like a lot. I don't know why. I just like he hasn't had a spectacular record, like hasn't, you know, won a tournament or anything, but I feel like he's always coming up in the broadcast, like they're always talking about Kiribayama.
Yeah, he's I think the reason I know him is because he's in the same stable as Kakeru. So mm-hmm. I always he's also another young guy born in 96.
Yeah.
And I think it's him and I forget who else is. It might be Toby Zaru, who are heavy with like leg trips or trying to leg trip, which is something I want to see come back. We're so used to seeing like, you know, belt grips or pushouts or things like that. Like I would like to see more, you know, get in there and trip the guy. And I've been seeing that a lot lately, I think, with some of these younger guys coming up. And I don't know if that's because like it's size difference or your a rookie and you don't know what to do, so it's like, oh, these guys aren't expecting a leg trip, so I'm just gonna do it. So I don't know if it's a long-term solution, but I think Kiribayama is pretty or I could be wrong in that he's had a couple leg trips, which is, you know, for me, I'd like to see.
I also just kind of looking at his profile page here, he's got a hell of a name, like a real life name.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like you should check it out. I'm not even gonna try to pronounce it, but it's it's something. That's like 30. That's like my password. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a long name, especially with the if we're looking at the same name. It starts with LKH.
That's his last name. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Even the first name. Yeah.
It's a lot of U's. And that first thing, I don't know, all next to each other. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Sidetracked. So moving on to Komusubi Magashira 3, Takeyasu, our boy, our former Ozeki friend, who I'd really love to see get back up to Ozeki. But let's hope he can perform well this tournament. That's really all I'm looking for. Like he had a good tournament last tournament. He went 9-6. And you know he was Komusubi, so that's pretty solid record for a Komusubi.
Yeah, I think most of the guys up in Senyaku stayed put. Mm-hmm. I think Daisho. I think this is the consensus. I think with a lot of people is Daisho not being promoted to Sakewake to make three of them was kind of criminal since he won last tournament. Was 13-2, looked really, really, really good. Has put together, you know, 10-5 the previous tournament, 11-4 before. He was 11-4, 5-10, 10-5, and then 13-2. But him not getting promoted into Sekiwake,
yeah, that's criminal, but it
stinks because so that's 23 wins. If he gets 10 wins, he should be an Ozeki if he's at Sekiwake because he's Komusubi. He has to start this Ozeki run with that Yusho win.
Yeah, that's
and like I mean he had a better record than Matakeyomi, and Matakeyomi got to stay put, and the same thing with Takeyasu, they got to stay right where they were.
It's a weird move.
Daisho essentially only went up two positions because he jumped over Magashira 1 East and then fell into Komusubi West 2. And I think that a lot of people, that's something else that I think has been kind of you know in the community, is why did he only get a one rank promotion when he won? We should be talking about his Ozeki run now.
Yeah.
And we have to wait because let's say he goes 15-0. There's still no way they're going to put him up into Ozeki and skip no Sekiwake. Absolutely not.
But, I wonder if that's ever happened. Probably not, but
probably not. I'd be interested to see if that's something that's happened, if someone's just skipped over Sekiwake because they went like 15-0 and then 15-0. But I think people winning back-to-back tournaments, I think I've pulled the numbers, like you're less likely to win in Magashira despite the more rankings there. And then it would have to be some like ridiculous one-off where someone skipped over Sekiwake to go right into Ozeki, which is likely not to be a thing.
Gotcha. Yeah. And with what we were just saying, you got Meisei at Magashira 3 fighting a Komatsubi. So again, starting the Magashira 1-2-3 guys with the Senyaku. It's a rough section to be in.
Yeah, Meisei had a great start to last tournament, then kind of fell flat in the second half, which I'd be interested to see. He fought some of the higher ranked guys. The last four matches he had was Magashira 1, Daisho, Yusho winner, Onosho, who's now sitting at Magashira 1, but was Magashira 3 at the time. You know, Asanayama, Ozeki, and Taranofuji. So he's going to see some of those same guys again, but earlier in the tournament.
Yeah, he's going to get him week 1. So yeah, he's obviously got Takayasu day 1, and then Mataki Umi the next day.
Yep. So they're already flip-flopping his schedule. Hey, last time you finished with harder competition, this time you're going to start because you're a higher rank.
He'll be one to watch. I feel like it'll be an interesting test for him because he hasn't had a losing record in the four previous tournaments.
Yeah, last one was March of last year.
I mean, granted, he won Juryo in July of last year. I mean, 9-6, 9-6, 8-7. Again, it's not amazing records, but it'll be interesting to see if he can stay. If he could get an 8-7 at Magashira 3, I think he might have a prolonged time in like the upper 5 Magashira.
I'm also kind of surprised now looking at that jump from Magashira 7 to 3. He was only 8-7 and he went up 4 ranks.
Yeah, I saw that too. I was like, that's interesting. Like, you didn't want to make 3 Sekiwake, but you'll make a Magashira 7 that went 8-7, a Magashira 3?
Yeah. There's some questionable movement in this in these rankings this month.
It's a weird tournament.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah, because you're coming back from, like, I think there was, like, 17 or 18 guys in Sekitori who were out with COVID, so you have to take that into account. But, yeah, it's been weird.
All right, now moving to my guy, Wakataka Kage.
Yep.
The man who goes to the ring and flails and does whatever he wants and sometimes wins.
That's pretty accurate.
We did not get to see him last tournament, COVID. Nope. So he sticks around at Magashira 2. I think this will be because he was 7-8 in Magashira 1. So that was back in November, I think. And he did not perform well at all in the beginning of the tournament. And the only win he got in the first week was a walkover win. So, yeah. Well, that's not entirely true. Day 8, I guess he got Kiribayama, but
yeah. But besides that, his first he got the gauntlet in the first 8 days. Once again, higher ranked guy. It's gonna happen.
And it didn't go well.
No, 2-6, and technically 1-6-1. Technically, with that one walkover win.
Yeah, so I think it'll be interesting to see how he does too. I think him and Meisei are like my two guys that I'm keeping my eye on in this first week. I think that's going to dictate how well they do the rest of the way. I mean, obviously they're fighting the higher rank guys and theoretically should win the guys, or, beat the guys below them. But I think Meisei and Wakataka Kage are going to be fun to watch. He's facing the Sekiwake Takanosho. We are familiar with. He had a pretty, again, decent record for the last 5 tournaments. He can win this. I don't think he's going to with Hakuho in the mix. Yeah. But Takanosho, I think, has a chance to win.
I mean, he had a Jun Yusho back in March of last year. He was 12-3. 8-7, 10-5, 8-7, 9-6 since. We'll see.
I think it's really going to depend on what kind of Taranofuji we see and what kind of Mataki Umi we see. like in this tournament here.
Yeah, I think Hakuho is probably the most important because, you know,
I mean, he's back, but I don't know. I'm writing Hakuho off because I feel like if he chips a fingernail, he's gonna pull out again. Like, I just feel like his heart isn't in it. He hasn't fought in the last three tournaments. Hot take.
I mean, remember Hakuho was out last tournament with COVID.
That's true, but so he was straight up out in November and September and pulled out in July.
I mean, if we want to talk about Yokozuna's judo performance, we'll get to Kakeru in just a few minutes. But
yeah. But I mean,
Hakuho has a legacy behind him where, like, he can pull out and be like, "Oh, okay, you don't have to quite retire yet." But we'll get to Kakeru in our opinions in a few.
Yeah, but just I'm not questioning Hakuho's skill level at all. I'm questioning, like,
if he loses two of the first five, he's pulling out. I want him to stay. I want him to go the full 15. He can still play spoiler, but I think he would just. It's funny how he'd almost be more embarrassed by like a 10-5 record than a 2-13 and, you know, or 2-0-13 because he pulled out for 13 matches. Like,
yeah,
it's interesting that
I get that sense too. That like he'd rather than go in and lose to a Magashira 1,
mm-hmm.
He'd rather just straight up pull out of the tournament, which in my eyes is worse.
Where he's at right now. Yeah, if
but,
nothing else, like I said, that's his role right now. And I think that's the same thing with like with some of these top guys who might be out of the Yusho. It's like, you guys can all still play spoiler.
And so I'm going to make like a horrible comparison to like Hakuho to like an American athlete. We'll say Zdeno Chara for the Boston Bruins.
Okay.
You know, he's just the old guy who's just kind of lingering around, but still can like make a difference. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In that sense, in sumo in a tournament, like he's in terms of skill level, like his skill level has not dropped off nearly as much as Zdeno Chara, mm-hmm. we'll say. But like, he's still like a threat, even if he's having a bad day.
Yes.
So like,
he's got the veteran presence that you can always be like, oh well, just because he's older doesn't mean he doesn't know what he's doing. Like, he's well equipped.
And the difference between the two, I would say, is like, obviously Zdeno Chara is willing to, you know, play 27 minutes a game still. You know, no matter what,
a broken jaw with a rod in it, and
exactly. Whereas, like, I don't know. Obviously, two different sports. It's apples to oranges, mostly.
Correct.
But like, I think Hakuho plays the same role in the overall tournament rankings. You know what I mean? Like, he could if nothing else, he can beat a lot of those younger guys just mentally. You know what I mean? Like, even before they face him. Like, if I'm on Magashira 16, and I'm on like a tear, and I'm 12-0, and I know that Hakuho is still in the tournament, that's gonna get in my head.
Oh yeah,
and that could make things interesting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I think him pulling out is like, it's not great for the sport in that it's making things. I mean, obviously it's exciting whenever he's in. But like, I don't know, it's like he's a variable, you know, because he's not the same Hakuho he was, but at the same time, obviously, still has that presence.
Yes, and. I want to see him go up against a lot of the guys, which I don't think have any experience. Like, I want him to go against Kiribayama. Like, I don't know if he might reach a Magashira 4, depending on how Kiribayama, but like, I want him to get in the head of Wakataka Kage. Like, I almost think they have to go through this, like, this passing of, like, everyone has to fight Hakuho. Like,
yeah.
Just like, if you can even if you have a remotely competitive fight with Hakuho, I think you're in a decent spot. Like, at least if you put up a good, it's like almost like we always go back to the Patriots because, you know, we have the dynasty and everything going here in the Boston area, but like, if you can beat Bill Belichick or at least be competitive against him, teams notice that.
Yeah.
So like, if Wakataka Kage puts up a good fight against Hakuho, you're like, meh, all right. Maybe he's a real deal. Maybe not. But I don't know. I think if like, let's say Hakuho pulls out, no one is a measuring stick. There's no one in this ranking right now who I look at and say, if you beat him, it matters. But, I mean, if you beat like an Ozeki at Magashira 8, then yes, it does. But like, if Onosho beats Hakuho, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of these guys who have been on the cusp of Ozeki, like beating a Hakuho could be the, like, again, yeah. So what if Takanosho, like, mm-hmm. what if he comes in and, you know, runs the gambit on everybody and beats Hakuho? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's like, it makes it that much better. It's a feather in his cap, I feel like.
Only faced Hakuho once, so he's not one of those guys who might be like, oh god, I have a terrible history against Hakuho. All right. Because some people might just go in with that mentality too, where it's like, hey, my record against Hakuho is like 2-30. I don't have a shot. And that's that mental game that Hakuho plays. And, you know, I don't think anyone else really has that status.
No. Yeah, nobody, I think, has that kind of, like, I mean, even back in, like, the Haruma Fuji, Kasino Sato days, I'm not sure anybody has had, like, a, I'm probably going to lose to this guy effect on their opponent.
I think we might have talked about this one back in November, but there's always been, like, that passing of the guard for Yokozuna. So it was, like, you know, Hakuho, and it was, like, Ashishoru, and like, it just goes back generations where there is always that one guy. It's, like, this might be nerdy, but it's almost like there's always, like, a master and a Padawan, kind of like going to Star Wars. There's always, like, one guy who's, like, the guy, and then someone else who's, you know, could be coming up. But I don't really see anyone who's, like, there's no passing of the torch happening right now. No, yeah. No one here is Yokozuna material at all.
And the longer this, like, stretch of either, you know, like, we haven't had a Yokozuna in a tournament in almost half a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer it goes on, the more okay I am with just not having a Yokozuna for a while. I feel like,
if you like the Wild Wild West, if that's your favorite genre, then,
yeah,
then sign up, because we've had.
It could make the Senyaku, like, every person who ends up in the Senyaku, if they do well long enough, could potentially be a Yokozuna.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of opens, because then Hakuho's gone and there's no measuring stick.
Yes, but I just don't want anything to be, like, forced. Like, I don't want, you know,
I don't want them to just make a Yokozuna. Yeah.
Be like, oh, hey, Shodai, you won a tournament back in November. You know, congrats on your Yokozuna promotion.
Yeah.
You won back in September. So it's like, you know, I don't want them to force anything just for the sake of having a Yokozuna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. That would suck if they just kind of, like, force some guy, because then, yeah, you have to retire too. It's not exactly, like, they can just drop down. Like, we'd, like, just be like, yeah, we don't like this guy wrestling anymore, so let's make him Yokozuna.
Exactly. Like, you're forcing a guy in there who hasn't earned that spot, where most likely he's not going to be able to perform at that spot anyways. So he's like, let's say they force Shodai up, but whatever, he's your next Yokozuna. He does a great tournament, a couple tournaments early, promote him. What if he sucks for, like, 3 or 4 tournaments in a row, and they're like, ah, crap. Like,
yeah.
You can't demote him. You've got to make him retire. Like, he's like, there's nobody here, I think, can perform at the Yokozuna level.
Yeah.
Hakuho could. Haruma Fuji. Kakeru was at that point. Kasino Sato was before his injury. You know, I think, honestly, I think the next Yokozuna, if there wasn't an injury, would have been Terunofuji. Fuji.
Yeah.
Back in his prime, which is sad because he's still super young. He's only 29. You know, I think he was the next Yokozuna if he had just could have stayed healthy. Obviously, knee and diabetes, he couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he was probably your next Yokozuna in the works. And I don't think he now has the potential to do it. Or who knows? Maybe he does. I have no idea.
I mean, I think if he... So we'll continue down the list here. So Terunofuji, fighting Hokuto Fuji day one, and then we're kind of segueing into, like, our other portion here. But so, like, Hokuto Fuji, I feel like he can beat hands down, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got Wakataka Kage, who he should beat.
Yes.
So, like, it's if he gets off the ground quick and stays healthy, and then gets a chance to fight Hakuho and beats Hakuho.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, I don't know, I feel like that's a pretty big statement fight too. Like, I'm looking for a Terunofuji Hakuho fight.
That, yes, I think that's what I've been hoping for with Terunofuji's climb back. Was that, you know, he's going to get that Hakuho matchup.
That'd be your headliner, I feel like. That's like a day 14, 12, 15 30, or something. Yeah. Especially if they're both doing well.
Yeah, he's 4-9 against Hakuho, which is a pretty, I would say, a competitive record. You know, even though it is twice as much, I think we referenced earlier another twice as much wasn't, but 4-9 against Hakuho, at least that means you have a chance to win. 33% of the time you're winning.
And I feel like a healthy Terunofuji beats an injured Hakuho, or at least has a better chance than most people here.
I once again, I'd probably still take like a 75% Hakuho over like 90% of the field healthy.
Right.
No doubt. But yeah, Terunofuji healthy, I think, could beat a Hakuho at, you know, less than 90%.
And like Wataki Umi several tournaments back, I would say would have had a chance, but like he's not so much anymore. Onosho maybe, but again,
those guys, it's the up and down with some of these guys that always make me nervous, which I don't know if it's mental, I don't know if it's, you know, health or whatever.
And again, Hakuho sticking around, I think, will be a good challenge for all for the Ozekis too. Like, you gotta, if Asunoyama can beat Hakuho, I think that solidifies his spot as a worthy Ozeki. You know what I mean? He's consistent, like Kasino Sato was. And like, again, I don't even think he's fought Hakuho. Oh, he fought Hakuho back in March. So a year ago, he fought Hakuho. And he lost. So it would be kind of cool to see a year reunion. And he was a Sekiwake when he lost to him.
Yeah, he's faced him three times. March of last year, lost as Sekiwake. November 2019. And then July of 2019 as well.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, like you're... It's funny to think now that, so let's say he does beat Hakuho. Does it, if he beat Hakuho today versus 4 years ago, does it weigh different? Like Hakuho in his prime 4 years ago, killing it, 15-0 tournaments, you know, five tournaments in a row, whatever, weighs a little bit more than it does now where he's a little bit older. He's banged up. He hasn't performed well. He's missed the last handful of tournaments.
Well, you got to think too, if so, Ozeki Yokozuna fights are probably going to happen in the last handful of days. So probably. This is obviously heavily presuming that Hakuho stays the entire tournament.
Yes.
And so if he's staying the entire tournament, he's probably something like at worst, like a 12-1 or something along those lines.
He's on the leaderboard if he's fighting that late where he's going to face an Ozeki.
So like, even if Asunoyama is like, you know, riding like he's like an 8-5 or something at that point, or something close to that. I think it still has weight to it if he can play spoiler for a Hakuho win or something like that, or even Shodai. You know, like if either of those guys can show up and take Hakuho off the leaderboard or like drive him further down from it, I still think that has weight.
Yeah, no, I agree.
What would be, this is the dream here, would be you got both Ozekis riding some sort of, you know, like a 14-0 going into day 15 along with Hakuho, and you got a three-way kind of battle or something going on there. That would be the Ozeki Yokozuna showdown. Would be
nice. It's funny because
Takakesho too. I'm forgetting Takakesho.
Takakesho had an awful tournament last tournament. Yeah. So I'm not surprised, but like he was supposed to be the next Yokozuna, and everyone was talking about his belt run last tournament and how this could be it. And I mean, 2-8-5, he pulled out with an injury. I want to say I have confidence in Takakesho, but I mean, he's I can't think of the word right now. At rank of demotion.
It's Katoban.
Katoban. There we go. We'll figure out the same thing. Because Katoban. So I'm concerned about him, whether he can bounce back mentally, you know, bad last tournament. But like, I look at those three, that group of Ozeki, I have confidence in them as Ozeki. I don't necessarily have them confidence if they were Yokozuna. It's so weird to think just one length like lower. Like I think those guys are all fit, like right where they are. That's perfect for them. I mean Asunoyama has the consistency you'd want from a Yokozuna. But he doesn't have
the dominance, you know. Correct. What I mean? Like he doesn't have the ability to go 15-0.
Correct.
Like,
yeah,
he's just not going to. I mean, not that you like that can't be your measuring stick, because But like a 14-1 or a 13-2 kind of consistency. He's mm-hmm. almost there though. Like he's got a 12-3, but
he's had one. I think his best has been a 12-3, and he's done that twice.
Mm.
And three only wins you. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's pretty low. Three wins, like it's like, you know, 15% of the time, three wins will get you. You really need to stay at two losses in order to win. It's typically one or two.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think out of the current Ozeki, Asunoyama or Shodai are probably your best bets, with Asunoyama being the front runner easily.
Mm. Yeah, Shodai, though, like his numbers are also pretty good. 11-4, 13-2, 8-7, 11-4, 13-2. I mean, he has that 13-2 that we just said you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, he was 11-4 last tournament coming off an injury. But he's got the 13-2. It's 13-2 at Magashira 4 and 13-2 at Sekiwake. It's not at Ozeki 13, but he has the 13 numbers that we're looking for.
Yeah, and this will be for Asunoyama an entire year at Ozeki.
Mm-hmm.
Never having, well, I guess technically he was Katoban when he pulled out in November.
Yeah.
But came, so he's had the Katoban test. So like he was able to pull out of the tournament almost nearly the entirety of a tournament and then come back getting 11-4, which is pretty good, which was better than his performance in September the tournament before he pulled out. I think Asunoyama out of the Ozeki is the best one, but yeah, whether or not he's got the Kasuno Sato consistency, but he's no Haruma Fuji, let alone a Hakuho.
Yeah, I almost don't even think he's a Kasuno Sato either. Like he has the consistency, but I just don't see, like with Kasuno Sato, it was, you could see that dominance with him we'll take this as a scenario. If Hakuho doesn't exist, I think Kasuno Sato wins a lot more tournaments. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can say the same thing about Asunoyama.
Yeah,
because Hakuho hasn't existed essentially for the last couple, and he hasn't really performed in that void.
That's true.
Where if Kasuno Sato, if you know,
I think a lot of the Ozekis win more without Hakuho there. I agree with that. Of that era, like Goedo would have won more tournaments.
Yeah,
Kotoshikiku,
Taranofuji
would have won more.
Yeah,
I think I agree. Had there been no Hakuho at that point, it would have been a rotation of them winning up there, especially with no Haruma Fuji as well.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting thought, actually. It's like, how many more tournaments would the Ozekis have won without Hakuho?
Because I almost feel like if you win one, that's good enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, with Hakuho, the Hakuho era, if you've won multiple tournaments, great job. Like, fantastic. Congratulations. Like, Mataki Omi's won twice. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's that. Like, that's crazy to think that he's won it twice. I don't know if during those tournaments how present Hakuho was. So, you know, we have to take it with a grain of salt without looking too far into the numbers. 13-2, 12-3 are his two Yusho wins. But in the Hakuho age, if you have two tournament wins, you're probably performing pretty well. But if you have one, that might just be good enough now, where it's like, you know what, you won one. Good job, dude. That's all you need.
That's what it seems like at this point. There's very few two Yusho winners.
Yeah, I think Asunoyama,
Taranofuji and Mataki Umi. And
yeah,
I think that's it.
Let's see. Yeah, so Asunoyama only has one. He's had three Jun Yushos. Shodai, I think, is also one. Same thing with Taranofuji has two, which he was a Sitten Ozeki at the time of Hakuho's dominance. He has a Yusho that he won last year. It was his bounce back one, but his first one was way back in May of 2015 when he was a Sekiwake. He wasn't even an Ozeki at the time either.
Yeah, that's prime. That's prime time
Hakuho. Oh yeah, that's Hakuho running 15-0 for four tournaments in a row. Yeah,
yep,
and just being absolutely ridiculous.
That thinking about that just alone, how much more does that weigh versus a win today, like comparing the two, like his recent win versus that one, like just knowing what it was like back then versus now.
You look at that first one, you're like, that's prime Hakuho time. Like I said, don't know how present he was for that tournament. I'm guessing he was around, but you beat him most likely. A great win. Second one, not so much, because he was one, he was lower Magashira. I think he was like 16 when he won last year.
Yeah, he was 17. Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, the guys he had to beat in the last 5 days, I mean, they're definitely no pushovers. They're mostly Senyaku guys, but like, banged up Tochinoshin most likely because it was July last year. Tamawashi, Asunayama, who's your Ozeki now, Shodai, who's an Ozeki, and Takeumi, who was Ozeki caliber probably back in July. So like, he's not beating pushovers, but again, it's not Hakuho. It's correct. Not even Kakaru. It's like, you know what I mean? But I mean, since then he's obviously been climbing steadily. He went from Magashira East 17 to East Magashira 1 in the next tournament after winning. So they shot him right up.
So think about this. So since his return to Sekitori, so it's entering Juryo, 13-2, 10-5, 13-2, 8-5, 13-2, 11-4. And what I hate most of all is, so he had, I mean, I figured they wouldn't do this, but he had 32 wins over three tournaments. I thought they might consider moving him into Ozeki and moving Daisho from Magashira 1 up to Sekiwake, to, or even up to Komatsubi West 1 or East 1. But Tarnufuji, they didn't force that. They really want those 33 wins. He had 32. Where he should have been promoted to Ozeki, I feel like, but
yeah. So he's, let's see, so yeah, he's at the last two tournaments. He'll be at 24 wins. So 24. He'll need another
nine.
Yeah,
nine wins will get him, and nine's easy for Tarnufuji.
I mean, he can get nine again, especially if he's starting with Hokutofuji rather, and Wakatakakage. Those are two wins he should be getting right out of the gate.
Yeah. He's had a lot of double-digit wins. He's very capable of getting nine wins. He shouldn't have an issue getting nine wins, so he'll be an Ozeki. I'll boom, 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 hot take, sort of. He'll be the first person to ever return back to Ozeki after dropping down that far. I think most people, when they hit, like, Juryo, they typically retire. But he was all the way down in Sadanme, and now he's going to be back to being Ozeki next tournament.
So how about that for like the dream fight? So Tarnufuji fights Hakuho for the Basho, and to get like
into Ozeki.
To solidify Tarnufuji's spot in Ozeki.
That means Hakuho's record would have to be pretty bad, because you're talking about, because all he needs is nine wins.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If he's
like 14-0 already.
Yeah, and he's Hakuho's already 14, guaranteed. Oh,
yeah.
It,
yeah, he's already going to be Ozeki. Yeah,
but I mean, that would be.
Still, it'd be icing on the cake, I guess, to win the Basho.
Yeah, or even if that's the last match, if that's like a day 15 matchup, Tarnufuji versus Hakuho, and Tarnufuji sitting at eight wins, you can play spoiler Hakuho. You could make this guy mad. He walks away as
eight, rather than
9-6.
Yeah, yeah, that's a very valid point. Doesn't get the promotion. Yep.
Yep, and then he's got to do that climb all over again, but this time starting with 19 wins rather than 24. So he only needs nine. I think he's very capable of doing it, but he's going to win like six of his first eight in order to just kind of.
I think he needs to start strong, because yeah, he's going to get the Senyaku in the second half, and you know, he's been bested by some of those guys up there. He's been beaten by Daisho. He's been beaten by Takeyasu. Daisho on multiple occasions.
Yep. Onosho, even at Magashira 1, he lost to Onosho last tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll see what ends up happening with him. As much as we don't like him.
Yeah,
I think there was a
Takeyumi. I'm just looking at all the guys he's lost to. They're all Senyaku guys right now. Onosho, Takanosho, Takeyumi. The only one he has a pretty good record against is Asunayama.
He's beaten him
the last three times, at least four times.
Yeah. So, which is funny that he's beaten the Senyaku guys, but then the Ozeki guys, he can't. Or he's losing to the Senyaku guys, and then he's beating the Ozekis. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just.
No. It's interesting to see where, because yeah, he's gonna have to. If he wants the nine wins, he's going to have to perform well in the first 8 days. He doesn't have to go 8-0, but he's going to have to go at least 6-2. 5-3 is going to be tough.
Yeah, I would say if he doesn't go 6-2, he's going to be pushing his luck going into week two.
Yeah, because you're going to get a lot of those tough guys, especially if Hakuho's still competing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hakuho's still going to be a factor there. Like, that's, again, that's going to be, I feel like, a big part of this basho is the Hakuho Terunofuji factor if Hakuho stays past the first week.
Yeah.
Because then it's going to start getting interesting. Because at that point, you can start throwing Hakuho at Terunofuji after the first week. So yeah, I don't know. So, that's the fight I'm looking forward to at some point this tournament.
I have a couple fights in the first 2 days that I'm actually looking forward to, but I suppose we could just quickly touch base on Kakaru.
Yeah, you should. Yeah,
I think he's probably the only person we really haven't touched, talked much about, and it sucks because he was lined up to compete up until about 3 or 4 days ago, and he either pulled or tore something in his thigh. He said he won't retire. I think they're going to force him to.
Yeah.
Because if it's something, let's say it is a tear, I mean, you're not going to come back in May. There's no way you're coming back in May.
Yeah. If he tore a muscle or something, he's not coming back.
So I think there's a chance. I mean, he got his citizenship. He has his elder stock. This is what he was waiting for. He got that back in January. It took forever, though, a lot longer than Hakuho. I think Hakuho got the special. we're gonna send you through a lot quicker than Kakaru.
Got the express pass.
Yeah, Disney. Exactly. Yeah, he took the JR pass and Shinkansen right to Elder Stock. So Kakaru won't be competing. He'll be out the entire tournament. No chance of return. I think we're going into May with one Yokozuna.
I guess Yokozuna in May for sure.
And I almost want to say one ranked Yokozuna, meaning Kakaru is going to be forced to retire. Mm-hmm. There's no way they let him ponder and sit there for 2 months trying to figure out what they're going to do with him. You can't.
Yeah. I don't think, I think he's done in rings. I think he's, you can't do that and like get rid of Kasuna Sato. At this point, it's
correct.
Like,
your measuring stick, that you did the exact same thing that Kasuda Sato. He wasn't performing well. He forced him out to retire. Way younger. He was, I think he was performing better than Kakaru is now. And our quick take on Kakaru. I'm disappointed because I want to see everyone present. I want everyone to be fighting. And he was looking good in practice up until that injury. And it just stinks that it happened 3 or 4 days beforehand. And no Kakaru for this tournament again.
So that's Kakaru. Do we want to pick, so like, I don't know, there are a few fights that I already kind of touched on them, I guess, as we were going through the list, but on day one, the Ichinojo Tochi Ocean fight, I'm really looking forward to. Wakataka Kage Any Given Fight, I'm excited about. I'm expecting a Terunofuji walkover win pretty much against Hakuto Fuji. We'll see if I'm right about that. And looking forward to seeing if the Sadagatake guys can get wins on day one. I think all of them, Sadagatake guys, generally speaking, I don't think perform very well on day ones. So
yeah, I think my most important one is I want Kota Shoho to get. He's got Akiseyama, and Akiseyama was 9-6 last tournament, you know, overperformed. He was kind of a surprise of the tournament. I want Kota Shoho just to get that monkey off his back and get that first win without having to think about like, oh my God, is this going to be a repeat of last tournament? Am I really going to go 0-11 and then get my first win on day 12? Mm. So for me, it's Akiseyama and Kota Shoho. Kota Nowaka, I also want to come out of gates and do very well. But I'm actually most excited about is, and it's the headliner for a reason, is Hakuho versus Daisho, your Yusho winner from last tournament.
Yeah.
Against your, the goat.
It's an interesting fight to put day one, actually. That's a bold move.
That's your, you know, day 14, day 15 match last tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, you know what? Forget it. We're going to put you two up against each other. Day one. Daisho, if you come out and you perform well, we made a mistake in not promoting you up to Sekiwake. If you lose, then rightfully so. We looked at who you faced and who you beat.
Yeah, it's almost like some weird like sumo association justification happening.
Correct. Yep. They're making
that's up a, that's for a hell of a tongue twister, by the way. Sumo association justification.
I won't try and say that fast 5 times fast.
But yeah, it's definitely a test. Very, very clear. Like, see, and that's some of the subtleties that you pick up, like when you follow the sport. Mm-hmm. It's like one of the things that make it kind of cool. It's like, I don't know, it's probably the same reason like people like college sports or whatever, that I just don't pick up on it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. 14 ranked Clemson is facing off against ranked 2 Georgia. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, yeah. Yeah, it's but it's okay. Like the similar situation, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm pretty excited about that one. And then day 2 also has some interesting ones. You know, I want Ono Show to perform well, so him against Shodai should be fun. Tarunofuji should beat Wakataka Kage, unfortunately. You know, Kota Shoho, once again, a guy that I want to perform well. Who is he facing? Oyama. Another, once again, we talked about those big guys that he's going to get on day 1, day 2. So I'm hoping he's able to beat those guys.
Yeah, I'm looking at on day 2. I think like Ichinojo Okiyonomi fighting is going to be pretty good. Again, Ichinojo, like the mid upper Magashira ranks, I feel like are always pretty interesting because they always fight within one or two ranks instead of like, you know, with the Senyaku guys fighting like Magashira 3s and stuff like that. I don't know. I feel like it's more competitive in those upper middle ranks.
Yeah, you could go either way. Like if you see like, yeah, Ichinojo at Magashira 6 versus Okinomi at Magashira 5, it's a toss up. Mm-hmm. But like when you're looking at like, you know, Shodai versus Ono Show, well, Yoseki should win that.
Yeah, yeah.
But like you're looking at Ichinojo versus Okinomi and you're like, it's a toss up, you know, 4-2 head to head record. We have no idea what could happen with that one.
Mm-hmm. And you got Kota Shoho going against Oyama. Which pulling for Kota Shoho, obviously, in that one. I think that'll be one I'll make sure I watch. I mean, I'll watch all of them, but take particular interest in that one. Akua, my boy, the Juryo, he's fighting Kaisei.
Yeah,
that'll be a fun one to watch. Yeah, let's see what happens. And honestly, day 2, I think, is pretty lackluster.
Yeah, I think they're really trying to get people excited again for you know, day 1.
Day 1. Day
There's
one
a lot of good matchups there. And it's a Sunday, too. So I don't know if they just more people are going to be in attendance. I think it's still limited to 25% or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I heard there is going to, I think so far, the reported number of envelopes is higher than last tournament. Mm-hmm. So, you know, on day 1, there's going to be more than there was day 1 last year. And I think the same thing going back to November and September. So the trending of people getting, you know, at least sponsorships and things like that coming back into it with COVID, you know, hopefully regressing in the next 9 months or so, you know, there will be more fat stacks, like how we like to call them, more envelopes for everyone to compete for.
For sure. And Onosho and Shodai, actually, I think will be a pretty good match, too.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a good Ozeki Magashira 1 fight. I like both of them. That'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's always so hard when I like so many of these guys where it's like, but who do I like? Who do I want to get the win? Because situationally, like, I love when sumo is perfect. There's Yokozuna, there's Ozeki, but I also like when people play spoiler. I like Ono Show, and I'm always torn. Like, I want Shodai to perform well because I want, you know, I want some, once again, more consistency at Ozeki. And if he wins, great.
Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't mention Toby Zaru, who I also love, but he's lower middle Magashira. Yeah. We'll see how he does this tournament. He did not have a great tournament last tournament. A lot of consecutive days of losing. So hopefully he can turn that around at Magashira. Yeah, he's another guy who only dropped one rank. Was at Magashira 7, dropped one rank to Magashira 8 with a 6-9 record. It's very interesting.
Yeah. I will say there was one more person I think we could keep an eye on is Hoshoryu. And I always get this confused because I know it's either his uncle, because there's an uncle and then there's a grandfather who's involved. And I'm pretty sure it's his uncle. Asashoryu is actually his uncle. I think he's more involved now with sumo, if I remember right. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to get corrected. if I wouldn't be surprised if he has more than 9 wins, because if his uncle came into Japan to help train him or something like that, being the former Yokozuna and I think the second most wins of all time, maybe Hoshoryu has a better tournament than 9-6, but we'll see. Since he's
I mean, he went on a streak too last tournament.
The first 5 days were bad, if I remember right. They were pretty awful, and then he won 9 of his last 10 matches.
Cool. Anything else you want to cover here?
I guess a couple milestones. Oyama needs 6 wins for 400. Takada Fuji needs 12 wins for 400, which I don't
I'm pulling pull for Oyama then. That would be cool.
Just 6 wins. I think that would be cool. Meisei just needs 4 more wins for 100, which you said you were going to keep an eye on Meisei.
Mm-hmm.
And then Daisho will be performing in his 30th Basho, and those are all the only milestones that I could find.
Yeah. I think this is going to be so obviously day one is super loaded. I think midweek is going to be super interesting. And then I could see this coming down to the last 2 days. With the Senyaku, the way it is. I think this will be a tournament decided on day 14, 15, rather than like the 12, 13s that we've been seeing
probably
somewhat lately. Not to say it's been happening every tournament, but you get a pretty good picture of what's going to happen around day 12, 13. But I think this will be like especially if Hagoho stays the whole time, this is a 14, 15 deciding day.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I want it to be that way. I don't want to know who's going to win on day 11 or 12. Like give me 13, 14, 15 and I'll be happy with that.
I agree. I'm also getting back into Japanese baseball, by the way. I know it's not it's not a topic for this podcast, but I've been watching the fighters. Yeah, I've been watching the fighters spring training a little bit. So more on that. I'll probably be peppering that in here.
Random. We're less knowledgeable probably on Japanese baseball, especially since Shohei Ohtani went
when the fighters won the series. I was like way, way into it. I could have told you everyone on that team.
But... Yeah, I think the last couple of years, like I said, I think since Ohtani kind of came over and went to the Angels, our not interest necessarily, because we used to watch them mainly for Ohtani, and I know they haven't shown Okada, but the team's like completely turned over now since when we were watching.
I started watching it the other day, just like decided I was going to get back into it a bit. Mm-hmm. But it's a whole, like Liard's gone, obviously. He's on the I think he's on the Hawks now.
Yeah, guys that we were like we knew, and the team kind of built around. Not necessarily built around, but he was an important piece, I think, of that team.
Yeah,
they're no longer there.
They have the same head coach still, which I think is actually pretty impressive. Since most of the time, whenever a Japanese baseball team gets a losing record, they fire their coach.
And I'll do one last quick shout out. So, people do the Sumo Kaboom, another. Sumo podcast do the bingo cards. Our middle circle spot, our middle square, is Kakaru.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, that is awful. I think I had the same situation last tournament where it was a COVID person in the middle, or it was Koto Shoho. I forget. It was like someone who it was just like, oh wow. It might have been someone who had COVID because I knew I couldn't get the middle. But yeah, so Kakaru is our middle spot. It's the freebie, and we don't get it.
Oh, that's good. That's a pretty good start.
Yep. So, awesome. Got like 5 rows or 4 columns. 4 columns, 4 rows that could possibly win. Not great.
Great. Well, thank you, Sumo Kaboom, for your RNG. And
yeah, exactly.
We'll see you next time.
Yeah, you can.
Do the thing.
Super Sumo Bros on Twitter, supersumobrothers.com. Check us out on Spotify, Google Play, and Google Podcasts as well, because there's two different things for some reason. And we should be on iTunes soon. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Oh, look at you. You're such a good PR social media guy. I'm terrible. Yeah, I do literally nothing, and you do all of this.
I try and be present because I like the community. I think it's great. I think people are very understanding, especially since we don't get the information that we need, so we have to go to other sources, and that's in the community, because we don't speak Japanese and we don't know how to read it, so we need to get to someone else.
Many shout outs to you, sir, for carrying the torch on the social media.
It's all good,
but we will see you midweek. Nakabe
Yep, Nakubi. We'll probably do it on day 9, we usually do. But yeah, day 9 is when we record the next episode.
Awesome. Well, we will see you then.